might be the first of many to come. Today we're continuing our look at the songs that surround Jesus' birth. The songs. And today, as you've read and as you've heard, we're looking at the song of Zechariah. You may have, because we like to sing songs, right? Especially at this time of year, we love to sing the Yuletide songs, the Christmas songs, carols come out. We sang, O Come Let Us Adore Him, Christ the Lord, just a little while ago. And we love Hark the Herald Angels Sing and Silent Night and Angels We Have Heard on High. We love these songs that we sing. Now, I don't know if you have heard it at all, but there's a radio station locally here that plays nothing but Christmas music right now. It's all Christmas, all day. And I'm not going to mention the radio station's name, but this station is playing all Christmas all the time. And I listen to it because I like, you know, I like Christmas music. You know, it gives me a little bit of a lift throughout the day. But I've noticed something about this radio station, so far anyway. I haven't heard one Christian Christmas song. I've heard plenty of Bob and Doug McKenzie. I've heard plenty of Bing Crosby, you know, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. Maybe even Blue Christmas. You know, Elvis, I'm not going to do my Elvis impersonation right now. You're welcome for that. But I haven't heard, O Come All Ye Faithful. Not yet. Maybe that's to come. And it just makes me wonder about how the songs that we've developed over the years and that we've traditionally sang in church are sort of fading away into the background. Zechariah is singing a song of praise today. Now, to get an idea of where Zechariah is coming from, it does us very good to look at the context. Look at where Zechariah is coming from. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are older people. Okay? We don't know how old they are, but they are well into their 60s, probably early 70s. I know some of us are saying here, well, that's not old. But nevertheless, they're older people. Zechariah has been a priest for pretty much all of his life. He is born into the line of Abijah. Now, Abijah, he's a direct descendant of Aaron, who was the first high priest. So Zechariah can trace his lineage all the way back to Aaron. And so can Elizabeth, by the way. She can trace her lineage all the way back to Aaron. And the scripture says in Luke chapter 1 that they were very righteous people. They were upstanding folks. Yet they didn't have a child. They could not have children. And in that time, it was sort of a bad thing. Why is God cursing them without children? We don't really know what the answer is. Well, maybe we do know what the answer is, because God is setting them up for today. You see, Zechariah went to the temple as part of his priestly duties. He went to the temple. And the pinnacle of going to the temple and doing your priestly duties was to go and tend to the duties with inside the Holy of Holies, inside the inner sanctum of the temple itself, behind the curtain. So you go behind the curtain, and then you are in where the Ark of the Covenant was. It's not there right now when Zechariah is there. You were there with the incense altar. You're there with the lampstands and the table that held the bread and all that. You're there in the inner place, in the most holy place. And this was tended to twice a day by a priest. And each division or in each tribe was allowed to go to the temple to attend to the temple's duties for 2 weeks out of the year. So only for 2 weeks out of the year, they were allowed to go to the temple as that division. And then they were the priest was chosen by lot to go into the most holy of holies. And if you were chosen that, if you got chosen for that task, your name was taken out of the hat after that, because it was a once-in-a-lifetime task for you. Once in a lifetime. So Zechariah, in all of his years of being a priest, had not been able to go into this place. There most likely have been many who have gone before him, many younger guys who have gone in and done that, has reached that pinnacle of their career. There have been many, probably, who have not been chosen at all. But later in his life, Zechariah is then allowed to go into this place. So this gives you sort of a mindset of what's going on with Zechariah then, doesn't it? Finally, he gets to go into this place. He gets to do the things that are in the most sacred place. And then he can coast after this. He doesn't need to worry about a thing after this. It's only then, though, that he's in the most holy place that, of course, he meets Gabriel. Now, we were introduced to Gabriel last week, weren't we, with Mary? And Gabriel meets Zechariah. And Gabriel says to Zechariah, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. And he's going to be great. And he's going to be he's going to lead the people back to God. And Zechariah is not only going to, he's not only going to lead the people back to God, but he's going to come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And Gabriel, the angel, keeps on telling him all these things about this son, John, that's going to come true. These are all great things. Now, I don't know if you've ever had it, but have you ever talked to somebody about something and they just couldn't get over the first thing that you said to them? You have a lot to tell them, but they just can't get over the first thing that you said to them? One time, I was preaching a sermon here, and the first line out of my mouth, and you might remember this. The first line out of my mouth was, I said, we demonstrate that we don't need God. So, in other words, we live like we don't need God. And, man, was I put on the carpet about that one. Because there was, particularly by one person in the congregation who will remain nameless, that person brought me aside and said, you said we don't need God. And I said, that's not what I said. I said, we live like we don't need God. And the whole idea of that being the first line was that I would draw out that idea and, of course, explain what we were doing wrong and how we could get right again. But I lost this guy from the first line. That was it. He couldn't see beyond that. He didn't see beyond that. He said, this is what you said, and this is what I heard, and that's it. This is just like Zechariah. Zechariah heard, you're going to have a son, and his name is going to be John. He didn't even get to the name part. I'm going to have a son? And so that's why Zechariah asks in Luke 1, how can I be sure of this? Are you sure, angel Gabriel, whoever you are, that I'm going to have a son? Because I'm telling you, I'm older, my wife is older, we're well beyond that age, we've resigned to the fact that God's not going to bless us with children at all, and now you're telling us that we're going to have kids? Or a child? You see, Zechariah couldn't get over it. And because of Zechariah's disbelief, the angel says, and now you are going to be quiet give him lots of time to ponder, lots of time to think about it. If we fast forward 9 months in Zechariah's life now to just before this text for today, Zechariah saw, what did he see? What did Zechariah see? Well, of course, he was silent, so he had lots of time to ponder. There was no internet. There was no television. There was no radio. He could not speak. He could not really communicate with anyone other than his writing tablet. So Zechariah probably spent a lot of time in meditation and probably some reading. Outside of that, Elizabeth became pregnant with this child. And he's seeing the joy that's happening in his wife's demeanor lately. Because now she is being blessed by God. Now she is having a child within her. She's eating it all up. She's experiencing every experience that comes with childbearing, with a child within her, with a grin on her face, even the difficult times, maybe even the morning sickness. Yes, I'll deal with the morning sickness because I got a child on the way. She is so full of joy because of it. Not only that, but 6 months into her pregnancy, in comes Mary, a cousin from Nazareth. And 6 months in, Mary comes into the room and says how she is with child because she had been visited by an angel named Gabriel. Oh, wait a minute. All of a sudden, all of the things are starting to click for Zechariah, aren't they? Everything that the angel said that Zechariah remembers was coming true. And if Zechariah remembers Malachi, then he'll remember Malachi 4, where the prophecy says that Elijah must come before the Messiah comes. Because the angel told Mary, you are going to bear the Son of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to come on you so that it will be the Son of God. You see how it's all coming together for Zechariah? Now, his child, John, is born. He has to wait 8 more days. Of course, he doesn't know he has to wait 8 more days. He was sort of hoping that when the child was born, that he would have to, then he'd be free to speak again. But that wasn't to happen, not yet. Only when he wrote on the tablet, on his little writing tablet, his name is John, was he able to speak again. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is this song. This song that Jenny read for you today. And look at what Zechariah says. This song comes out. Now, this song has two verses. I call them verses. Two areas of focus. We're looking at the first verse today. And the first area of focus, the first verse today, points to the horn of salvation. Zechariah is pointing not to John. He's not thanking God for John. He's thanking God for sending the Messiah in Mary's womb. In fact, Mary was likely there hearing this because she was said to be with Elizabeth for 3 months. All of a sudden, Zechariah is praising the plan of God the whole time. This is all about God. Zechariah is not in his first verse, the second verse will come next week. In his first verse, he is all about what God is doing. And what is God doing? But God is presenting his horn of salvation. Giving us the horn of salvation. And what is the horn? What does he mean by that? He means a strong, robust leader. Somebody who's going to take us through the difficult times. It's going to lead us to that place of salvation, which of course is Jesus Christ. And by the horn of salvation, then Jesus will be able to rescue them from the hands of their enemies and enable them to serve him without fear. You see, Zechariah is prophesying now. The first things out of his mouth after being mute for all this time was nothing but praise for God. Why? Because he saw exactly how the plan of God was working. You know, Zechariah and Elizabeth were very religious people, or righteous people. They were religious too, but righteous people. They were upstanding folks. They had it all going on. They praised God. They did everything right before God. And yet, Zechariah had a lot to learn when it came to God actually doing something, actually being there, actually taking, when the angel came to Zechariah in the Holy of Holies. Yes, he was startled, but he didn't believe it. He didn't believe that he would have a child. After all, take a look. I'm an old guy. And my wife is old too. You know, it's not really surprising because God hadn't really acted for about 400 years. Within Israel before this. The last time that we heard anything, that they heard any real prophecies, was in Malachi. And there's about a 400-year difference between Malachi, between the Old Testament and between the New Testament. That's 400 years. Something like, if we were to take a look at 400 years before us, that would be 1620. What was happening in 1620, folks? That was a long time ago. That's the time of Galileo. That's the time of the Spanish Inquisition, is around that time. It's a long time ago. A lot of history has gone underway. So it's not really surprising for us to understand how Zechariah didn't really see or couldn't really believe, wrap his mind around, that he would have a son miraculously. And furthermore, that this son would be the forerunner to the Messiah. Would be the one who paves the way, one who makes the way to the Messiah. Makes everything straight for the Messiah to come. No. This one, Zechariah, that he said that his thoughts were this, that God hasn't acted in such a long time, it's hard to believe that God would act. God never left Israel. God was always working in Israel, but not in a miraculous way like that. And we could learn a lesson from Zechariah too. Not to let our guard down and to focus on the things of the world, of the temporal, of the world in which we live, in our temporal world. Because God does miraculous things. This Christmas, as we are working our way towards Christmas, we are seeing the world being darkened by many things. Telling you, the devil's got his finger on it this year, it seems. To me, it seems to me anyway. He's got his finger on it, and he's pressing hard. He's got COVID happening for him. He's got because of COVID, the certain mental illnesses are elevating. As I mentioned, suicides. As I mentioned, job loss. All this stuff is happening. The difficulties of this world seem to be elevated right now. And we can't even sing Christmas carols. We listen to a Christmas music station, some of us do, that say nothing about Christ. And we wonder why we are in the state that we are in. And out of all this, we need to preach love, hope, peace, and joy, the four themes of this season. And this puts the burden on us, folks, because the world isn't doing it for us anymore. We need to be the ambassadors for Christ here. We need to be the ones who bring that hope, peace, love, and joy. We need to be the ones who sing it from the top of our lungs. And we need to be the ones who are like Zechariah today and point it all at God first. Because it's not about us. For Zechariah, verse 1 was not about him. It wasn't about John. It wasn't about Elizabeth. It was about God and God's plan. And thankfulness that God is continuing his plan. And today, in our day and age, we too, I'm telling you, it's up to us. The burden is on us to bring the joy, the peace, the hope, the love, to be that example for people. Because the world is lacking it. Now, thankfully, many of us are already doing that. Thankfully, we're moving ahead with that. But let's not stop. Let's not waver. Let's keep on going. Let's sing those songs. Let's bring joy to the world. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we are being pressured in a lot of ways, to stop singing, to stop proclaiming you. Help us to be extra vigilant this year. Help us to be the voice that you want us to be, that you need us to be, that we need to be for you. Always elevating you, always giving you praise, always pointing to you. Help us to be that. So that we won't get caught in a place that doesn't have any joy, love, peace, and hope. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Speaking of singing,